Welcome to the Parish the Thought Show. The opinions of Brian, your host, and his guests have not been sanitized or scientifically tested, so please consume at your own risk. Now, here's Brian.
Ladies and gentlemen, and whoever else is listening, welcome back to the program. My guest today is Kenny Parcell, the former NAR, National Association of Realtors, president. Thank you for being here, sir.
Brian, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
And I wanted you on because there is so much in the media, in the industry, about this National Association of Realtors lawsuit that's got everybody all kerfuffled over the commissions. And I wanted to have you on just to simplify what's going on as best you can for realtors, for buyers, for sellers, or something that they can get their head around and understand. Is this a doom and gloom? Do we all need to be afraid? Or is this just a minor adjustment in the industry and we all just move on and become better people and agents?
Yeah, I think it's just things adapt and things change. This is all the way back from 2019 when this first lawsuit, there was two class action lawsuits, one in Illinois and one in Missouri. The Missouri one went to trial this last fall in 2023. And unfortunately, the realtors lost and the private property and consumers lost. And the reason why they lost, Brian, is because the system has worked. The system has always been to where if you want to put your home on the MLS and offer some kind of a form of a compensation as of a dollar, if you wanted to, then you could. And so the class action attorneys won. And then what's funny about it, the class action attorney is probably going to walk away with somewhere in about $120 million. And all those people that piled on the class action lawsuit, they're going to end up estimating between $80 to $120 each person that hopped on that case, the consumer, that's what they're going to get. So the real winners here are the class action attorneys.
Isn't that always the case in a class action suit for the most part?
Yeah, I think it's always funny when you see, did you drink the water in Camp Lejeune in 1960 and do you have cancer and you're 80? Well, are you 80 and do you have cancer because you have cancer, or is it because you drank the water in 1960 in Camp Lejeune? And so I think that's what you got to look at it here. It's just a bad situation, and unfortunately the consumer and private property rights people lost.
Again, I've been in this industry for almost 6 years as a builder agent, so I have a different perspective, but it almost seems like it was a problem that never really existed that someone created.
Correct.
So tell me, where am I missing
it? Well, I think sometimes the realtors, some people or licensees, they did it to themselves. I mean, how many billboards did you see back in the day of buy with me, my services are free? No, your services aren't free. You get compensated. How do you get compensated? Well, either the buyer's compensating you or the seller's compensating you. And most of the time, the seller, when you would go to a listing agreement, say, seller, look, we're going to charge you X. And it was always negotiable. It was never mandated it was going to be 6%. Never. It was never mandated what you need to split that commission with. And so what's happened now is that we did it to ourselves in a sense that we said, some agent said our services are free. No. You want to be worthy of what you charge, and you always just want to be worthy of what you charge. And if you're worthy of what you charge, people will pay it. And there's different commission models all over the place. And you know what? That client needs to determine which is the best commission model for them.
So the Sitzer Burnett one in Kansas City, that was like after the fact, correct? That this buyer came and said, I was strong armed, or I was, wow, what's the word?
Coerced
into, but they knew what they were. Everybody signed documents that said all these things, you know, who was getting paid what. So how can they come back after the fact and say, I was misled?
Yeah, well, the thing to remember, Brian, is every state had buyer's agency or they didn't have buyer's agency. And so some states, I believe 9, had a buyer's agency agreement. So before I could write a contract in the state of Utah, I would have a buyer sign a buyer's agency commission saying, I am representing you and here are my duties and here is my form of compensation. Not every state had that. And so some states, it was the Wild West a little bit. And so there wasn't really always clear on compensation. If the agent wasn't trained enough to educate their client on compensation, there could have been a little bit of muddiness on how they did get paid.
But in Utah, we've been doing doing it that way for how many years?
Yes, for a very long time, 20 plus. So it's never been an issue.
So we've been smarter about it. Why don't other states, why is it so different from state to state?
Well, because once again, and this is what's been so spewed in the media, that NAR mandated 6%. No, NAR never mandated. NAR never mandated buyer's agency commission because it came down to each individual state what they required.
Some of the talk I've been hearing also is like, is NAR even relevant or is it necessary for, you know, and as a dues paying member of it, I've often asked, what does that money go for? Is NAR necessary?
Sure. There's some real value there. The real value is just because you don't take an interest in politics doesn't mean that politics won't take an interest in you. And so by the advocacy side alone from what the realtors do, and it's not advocating for realtor rights, it's advocating for private property rights for the single mom, the military vet. 1/5 of the GDP comes through real estate. And so as you can imagine in DC, everybody's trying to get some pieces of that money. And so you have to have somebody there to take care of the first time buyer, the minority buyer. The best way to build wealth in this country is through real estate. The average net worth of a renter is $8,000. The average net worth of a property owner is $320,000. So there's a huge swing there. So anything you can do to help for fair and affordable housing is a winner.
Can we talk about, like, when you were the president, and when did the whole mess happen? Was it August, September last year?
Yeah. So what happened is, as far as that goes, is yeah, there was a bad story written about me in a national publication that was not true. Everything that has ever been investigated about Kenny Parcell or anybody else is always investigated by a third-party attorney. And no, there were no complaints, no code of ethic violations. And then all of a sudden this big story comes out in the end of August. And as soon as it hit, I had people that I trusted saying, you know what, you should resign. You should take one for the team, you know, do something, lay down a bunt for the brand. And at the time, I thought I was doing the right thing and inevitably probably the worst decision I've ever made, because as soon as you resign, you're guilty.
So had you stayed on as president, do you, and again, this, you know, this is just guessing, and how, do you think that this, it would have got to this point, or would you have been able to, would you have had the ability to fight this and be more of, you know, the leader that you were? Would you have been able to avoid some of the position that NAR is in now?
Well, we were in that lawsuit, and it was going to trial later that fall. I would have loved to have seen more volunteer representation. I would have loved to see a lot more of the attorneys speaking to the jury instead of 15, you know, high profile attorneys in their $5,000 suits. It didn't look well for the realtors. It looked like big corporate business, and it didn't appeal to the jury. We were set up to fail.
Why do you think, and we talked about this before we're coming on the air here, why do you think somebody wanted or were targeting you? Was NAR becoming a threat to somebody? Somebody's power? I don't know. Again, it's like a movie almost, the things you're telling me about. But
yeah, it's just one of those things, Brian. You don't know why God puts you in trials that you're put in. But I do know I'm healthy. My hands work. My feet work. I'm not in Ukraine right now being bombed. My kids aren't being bombed when they go to school. I have the ability to still have a pretty good life. What I do know that's spoken in the media is not true. And I know that from firsthand experience, because I know the truth and I know God knows the truth, but anybody can write anything they want about you. And unfortunately, people read it, and that's why they call it fake news.
Yeah, and it's so hard to sift through. So how does somebody... maybe a new agent or a seasoned agent, what sources do they go to try to understand what's going on with this?
I think it's hard, Brian. It's hard to find true news, because what you read, and everybody, you have plenty of real estate people, you have plenty of attorneys out there, everybody's spewing misinformation. They're not educated on it, but they want traffic. People want clicks. That's what I do know. People want clicks. They want to spew some kind of false news to get clicks, to get traction. And unfortunately, that's the hard thing. The fact is, as a buyer's agent, three things are going to happen. One, either the listing agent is going to compensate you from their listing side. Number two, the buyer's going to pay you directly. Number three, you're going to write it in the contract and ask the seller to compensate you part of the contract. So that's the three ways as a buyer's agent's going to get paid. And that's as simple as I can and say it for people.
So yeah, again, yeah. How does someone learn and find out information? Is that that's a tough situation.
Yeah, because nothing's real.
Yeah.
Nothing's real, but it's going to be a lot more work before you go put a buyer in your car. The old days, you'd put a buyer in your car, show them three or four homes, explain your agency, tell them what you would do for it and say, great, would you sign a buyer, you know, will you sign a buyer agency agreement, buyer broker agreement? Now, before you put them in the car, you're going to have them sign a buyer agency agreement.
And is that going to be federal law or state by state law that like someone has to sign that?
Yeah, well, and keep in mind, let's back up for a second. This whole settlement that's happened still has to be court approved. So as much as, you know, people are saying mid-July, courts have to decide.
And they're notoriously not in a hurry.
Right? So we'll see what happens, but people need to be putting that in place. So it's going to be a lot harder for you as a buyer's agent. If you're going to go show five homes, one, you got to get a buyer agency signed, no big deal. But then you need to find out from those five different listing agents, is there some kind of form of compensation? Because you're not going to be able to see that on the MLS.
Okay, that's a question I had. Why is having it on the MLS, that never seemed to be like a problem to me. Why is all is advertising what you're going to pay out? Why is that an issue?
That's part of the settlement, and it doesn't make sense. It's never made sense. Even part of the back in the day when we had a Department of Justice settlement with them, part of it was you couldn't search on the buyer's agency commission on the MLS. So we removed it. And then shortly thereafter, a new administration came in the White House. And for the first time in the history of the Department of Justice, they rescinded a settlement.
Because that seems like it's transparency if you have it listed there. Now it almost seems like, well, it might be in there somewhere. It's going to be buried in the fine print. So am I missing something?
No, you're spot on. And it's just a lot more work for more people. So before you go show five homes, you got to do the legwork to be compensated. If you're going to be compensated, how you write the contract. And then also if you're the listing agent, if you have five showings on your listing, you're going to get five calls or five communications of, is there compensation? How much is that compensation? And all that other thing. So it just creates a lot more work, a lot more chance for problems.
What haven't I asked you about this whole situation that you want to share? Because we could probably talk for hours about this, but
yeah, I think for the real estate agent, for the realtor out there, is get involved, be part of, really know what's going on. And then that's, if you're a buyer's agent, that's how you're going to be compensated. When you're a listing agent, you're going to have to talk about compensation and how you feel like you're going to offer some of your compensation to another buyer broker, buyer's agent, and educating your clients. We need to do a good job. And then also be worthy of what we charge and play nice in the sandbox. With COVID and multiple offers and everything got crazy, we forgot that service side. One thing I always loved about you, Brian, is you're always good to work with. You always responded. You always cared about the client, not just your client, but my client. And we always would push for you. Because why? Because you did a good job and you cared. And so I think we're going to have to get back. There's going to be people that leave the business, but the good ones are going to survive. A smooth sea never made for a skilled sailor. And so anybody can drive a boat when it's smooth sea. It's going to be rough seas for a little while, and you're just going to take a little bit of a skilled sailor. And it's going to be a skilled sailor for a client to hire you as their realtor.
I think that's what they call it, merit-based or something. Weird. So what a concept. Yeah, you have to have a give-a-crap factor, and that's – people have often asked me, well, what's your secret to your success? I don't have any secrets. I just try to take care of people as best I can. And I don't think it gets any more complicated than that.
You want to take care of people and you care. And you care about everybody involved. You want a good transaction. And so it's good for everybody. And so I think the good agents, I think, stand to do well. I think the ones that got in the business and during the peak of the COVID and you didn't have to, you did the three P's of marketing, put a sign up, put on the MLS and pray somebody else will sell it. I think that day's come and gone. But I think take care of people, treat people how you want to be treated and go from there.
Yeah, this is going to make us better.
So I think so. I think it's not going to, I've heard so many rumors of the travel agent and the taxi cab driver and all that. No. I think the biggest investment you ever make for most people is buying a home. And do you want to be the Lone Ranger? No, because Lone Ranger still had Tonto. You had somebody there to be your sidekick and help you make the biggest decision you've ever made. And it's worth it. If you're worthy of it, you're worth it.
And people still like that face-to-face, the personal relationships.
Correct.
Which is almost a dying art, it seems, but people correct. Still like that.
Yeah, no, I made it a point to come out and wanted to see you, and too, it's easier to be here. And so I think, you know, for the people that are, it's gloom and doom, the sky's falling, all those things, I don't think so. I think you're governed by the, we're not governed by the majority that participates, or we're not governed by the majority, we're governed by the majority that participates. And so I think people are going to have to get more involved in their community and know what's going on in the real estate and for taxes and what's going, you know, what's a threat to the industry. And you got to have a voice. And if you don't, then you might become the dinosaur and become extinct.
How can people find you if they have questions that I can't answer for them?
Oh, that's fine. Just Kenny at KennyParcell.com. So okay. Parcell is with two L's, but it's, people ask me all the time, do you regret serving? No. I've done so many cool things and I've made some real impact, worked hard on FHA mortgage insurance being cut in half. And I won't take all the credit because there's a lot of people, but there's some fingerprints. There's a lot of things that happened federally that that testified in front of Congress that had real impact to people. Should I have resigned? No. But I made a lot of lasting friendships along the way. And I also found out that true friends weren't your real friends. They were there because you had authority or power and they were using you along the way. And those are hurtful, but those are life lessons. So for me, I'm still just grateful that I'm in an industry I love, good people, good clients, and people that still believe in me. And I really truly consider friends.
Could you ever or would you ever run again for that position as president of NAR? How does that work now?
No, I mean, technically you could, but no, I think it's you come to a point that you build up to that. Most of the elections are contested. I ran unopposed from Utah, which is a really small state. But no, it's time, I think, it's time only for a year anyway, because then it's time for another leader to step in and carry the ball. It's you always want to be moving, and leadership isn't an eternal concept in a position. You should never be in a position for too long.
Well, Congress has not got that memo.
Well, it's another animal. The problem's a problem because, you know, if you're a member of Congress and you run, you're already campaigning for 2 years down the road, and so you're always just on the campaign trail instead of doing the work.
Instead of actually trying to do the work, and I'm sure most people go there with the intent to try to make a difference. And I don't know, it seems like, have you seen the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
I have not.
It's a Jimmy Stewart one, and this random farmer type guy gets, some congress member dies and he gets appointed to that position, and a lot of the deep-seated old boys that are in Congress think that they can just run, you know, use him for their gain. And he stands up and said, no, this is ridiculous. And he actually has a soul and a heart. And part of me believes that might still be possible with positions like this, but I don't know.
There's a lot of good people. I know many of the members of Congress, and many of them are good people, and many of them have been distorted or forgot who they serve, unfortunately.
Power corrupts and all that good stuff. So. Well, Kenny, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to visit my humble little podcast and share your experiences and your perspective on this. It's helped me a lot, and I hope whoever's listening will be more at ease with the situation that we're in right now.
Well, it's always good to see you. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you again for listening to the Parish the Thought Show. We know you have many podcast options and appreciate that you have chosen us. If you love what you hear, please give us a rating on whatever platform you find us. And don't forget to share, like, and subscribe. If you hate what you hear, only tell us. You're still here? Click on the next episode for more from The Parish the Thought Show.